The title I've given my message today, it's quite simple actually. If you're a regular churchgoer, you probably see this quite often occur in your church when someone is about to get saved. It's called the invitation, where individuals or numbers of individuals come forward for an altar call of such and receive Christ as their personal Savior. So, I set you to listen in and hear what the good Word of God has to say, okay? The invitation. Well, not last Sunday, but a few Sundays back, was the first time since being a Christian, since I've been a Christian, that did I ever stand before an audience and preach a full sermon. Now listen carefully. I'm saying it's the first time I stood before an audience and preached a full sermon, but here's the key, without a script. Now, normally you have our notes, and you can follow them, and you can keep a sequence going. You can prevent from having a lot of, no, and all that sort of thing. But, you know, I did not have a script for this particular message. Now, you might say at the end, well, he should have used a script. Well, that's fine. But I left my script at home, and I felt motivated or moved, as you wish, by the Holy Spirit to actually convey what was on my heart. So I went ahead, and under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I brought forth the invitation. The invitation. Preach a full sermon. Well, okay. Now, I had no notes, no props, no standby, no stand-in. Just me and a room full of people. A people with itching ears. Itching ears. I had left my script and notes at home, so here we go. The Word of God is before me, and His blessing is on my heart. Okay, we'll get into a prayer there in a short moment or two. But I want to just start off with what I have written written on the notebook of my heart, you might say. Okay? Okay, now, all I had was my Bible in hand, and that usually is all you really need, if you know the Word of God at all, or you understand it, and you want to pass it on to others so they too will have that great opportunity that God puts before them to get saved, as it were, to give their lives over to Christ, to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyway, I had, like I said, in my hand, God's Word, the King James Authorized Version 1611 Bible, and that's where I was, and that's where I would move from. Talk about a wing and a prayer. This was it. Okay. Usually I would have several brothers and sisters from my church to support me. Well, today it was a holiday in the area, and today it was just me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. And or should I say, Jesus and me. Okay. Now, as I panned about the room, well, the room just seemed to pan back at me, saying, what are you going to do now, dude? You can do it, Tommy boy, you can do it. With the presence of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. Now, I didn't recognize the voice. Was Jesus actually talking to me, or was I talking to myself? I got a habit of doing that sometimes, but you might say I'm self-motivated. Okay, we'll leave it at that. I felt like a snowball teetering over a pot of boiling water. Can you picture that? Well, somebody once told me that when all else fails, pray. Pray. Wow. When all else fails, pray. I think I got that backwards. Huh? What do you think? Prayer should proceed, rather, all else failing. Okay? God's Word says, pray without ceasing. In other words, you don't wait for the failure, you pray before the failure, even if you're quite confident in yourself, quite confident in yourself. So, then when all else fails, pray. That's a last resort kind of attitude, isn't it? Ah, that's backwards. Prayer should always precede failing. Give it to God. If He wants to let you fail, that's His business. God's Word says, pray without ceasing. To pray is to get... Are you ready for this? To pray is to get God's attention. Let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I stand before You and these people who have gathered here to hear Your Word. Please, God, give me wisdom that I may convey Your Word to a needy people. And God, when all is said, may a shower of blessings fill this room. And may Your Son, Jesus Christ, be lifted up. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, now, what shall I preach on? What shall I preach on? Well, the Bible fell open in my hand to John 14. Yep, it did. The way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Well, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now let's back up there a little bit. Let not your heart be troubled. And then let's go to verse 27. It says, neither let it be afraid. They kind of go together, doesn't it? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yeah. Kind of go together, don't they? Troubled and afraid. Kind of like fear and trembling, huh? Oh, yeah. Now tell me, people, are you troubled and afraid, or troubled or afraid about tomorrow and beyond? Are you? Or is your heart at peace? Is your heart at peace? Maybe you're not sure about heaven. And if you go there, you know, a lot of people are actually of that same mind. Not sure, but most of the time they'll say, well, I hope so. Well, hoping and actually believing that don't go together. They're not in the same room even. I hope so. Well, in verse 8, Jesus tells His faithful followers what heaven is like. Heaven is like this. Chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. Jesus said, now this is Jesus talking, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Have seen him. If we back up a bit, we'll see that Jesus is saying, In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's what he said. Right there in the book of John. The book of John, chapter 14. Chapter 14, it's all about the way of the truth and the life. I go to prepare a place for you. Now some have foolishly called Jesus, and all due respect from at least my quarter, but some have called him a heavenly bellhop. Can you beat that? A heavenly bellhop? Good grief. Very disrespectful, I'd say. Very disrespectful. Especially when you consider that he is the owner. He is not just your landlord. He's your Lord. You got that? He's not just your landlord. He's your Lord. He's the proprietor, and master builder of your final home, a home where moth and rust does not corrupt, nor where thieves break through and steal. You see, none of this happens in heaven. That's all gone. That's way behind you somewhere down on earth. Oh, what a place heaven is. Now, I can say that by reading the scriptures. I don't say that because I was there and I came back. No, nothing like that. No, that's hocus pocus, that is. Now, chapter 14, verse 3 goes on to say, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wow. How you like that? That where I am, ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. Which brings me to my next point. The way, ye know. Now, I've heard it said that there are many ways to heaven. Many. Oh, Billy Graham clearly stated that when being interviewed on a popular talk show, that Jesus was the best way. The best way to heaven. But, a big but come in here, kind of knock you off your feet, but not the only way. Well, I beg to differ. You know, Catholicism, of which I once belonged, also generated the same theme. If this be so, then the Christ of God, well, he suffered and died in vain. That's what? He suffered and died in vain. My friends, Jesus is the only way. He's also the truth and the life. Have we got that? He's the truth and the life, the only way into the presence of Almighty God is through Jesus Christ. Now, if we look at John 14, verse 6, after Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, you know, that's typical. People are going to ask that when you witness to them that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And they're going to say, well, what way is that? Well, it's through Jesus Christ. It's through faith and believing in what happened at Calvary. That's what it's all about. But when they say, we know not whither thou goest, or when Jesus said that, how can we know the way? Jesus had the perfect response. And you've got to spread that response as well. If you're a Christian, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's quite plain, quite simple. There's no way you can misinterpret what Christ is saying here. He's saying that He is the way. He's saying that He is the truth. And He's saying that He is the life. And He's closing it off with no option whatsoever. No man, or woman cometh unto the Father but by me. But Jesus didn't stop there. In verse 7, okay? Chapter 14, verse 7. What does it say? Oh, how powerful it is indeed. How powerful it is. Verse 7. Now Jesus is still speaking here. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Wow! What a power-packed statement is that? And how it applies, how it applies during these latter days. If ye had known me. That's what he's saying. If you had known him. Think on these words. If ye had known him. What's he really saying here? He's saying, if ye come unto me, I will in no wise cast you out. He's saying, if you repent and believe in the gospel, my gospel, then your salvation will be nigh. That's what he's saying. I mean, that's as simple as the gospel gets. If you believe, if you repent and believe in that gospel of Jesus Christ, heaven awaits. Heaven awaits. It's as simple as that. Think on these words. If ye had known me, if ye had known me, he's saying, tell me, do you know Jesus? Do you believe Jesus and the Father, although separate, are one? Do you? If you do, what do you base it on? Huh? Because you know you're going to run into people who are going to say, well, you're telling me what you believe, but why do you believe it? Tell me how you come to believe that. Well, you know, you might not be able to answer that question, but there is an answer. And it's the perfect answer. Because we believe by what? By faith. By faith believing. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. Do you believe? Do you? Does your family, your house, believe in what took place at Calvary? Do you? I pray they do. Now let us back up to chapter 8 here. Chapter 8, Jesus responding to the Pharisees. Chapter 8, verse 16. Follow along with me if you have your Bible open. Chapter 8, verse 16. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone. Oh, listen to this coming up now. Hear this. But I and the Father that sent me. Let me read that again. Verse 16. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Wow. What powerful words. You're either going to believe what he's saying or you're not. There's no, well, it sounds good. Maybe I'll think on this for a while. In the meantime, while you're thinking, what if the end of your life should come upon you? Too late. Too late. Verse 18. I am the one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Whew. Then in verse 19, when asked, where is thy Father? It's typical that one should ask that. Where is thy Father? Jesus answered. Do you want to hear his answer? Oh, well, you should. Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Wow, that's heavy stuff. Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. What's he saying here? He's saying that my Father and I are one. You know, when you talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost or Spirit, these are three in one. They have separate purposes. They have separate things that they do in the Scriptures, but they all relate to the Father. The Father. You know, that's why faith is needed, because it's sometimes a little bit hard, and for some people a whole lot hard, to absorb, to understand what is being said here. How can one person be three people? Well, we're talking about God here. We're not talking about Joe What's-His-Face around the corner. We're talking about a heavenly Father, God Almighty. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, this may sound confusing, and it is to some people, and will remain confusing unless by faith they should believe. However, since the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are separated, in that we may understand the triuneness of God. We serve a triune God. They are also one in the same, although they are addressed separately. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each plays a vital role in creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, there is only one God. You got that? There is only one God. However, because God is all-powerful and can do anything except deny himself, we who are His creation, we who are His creation must, by faith, lay hold to His Trinity. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Only God can be all three in one, and yet one in all three. Have you got that? Only God can be all three in one, yet one in all three. Now, it might sound confusing, but if your faith is strong, even as a mustard seed, the Bible says, you must accept it. You must accept that. If we go back to John 14, verse 7, we read, "If ye had known me," Jesus is saying, "if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Have seen him through the Son. Through the Son. You're looking at him. Or they were looking at him. But we are looking at him through our prayers. Almighty God. Wow, I'm telling you, this stuff is real. This is the invitation that Jesus was giving out to the people, telling them about God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and how they are one, and how important it is that the people understand this. But moreover, the importance here really is the salvation of the human soul. The salvation of the human soul. You know, the invitation that was given out there in Matthew is not something you can twist about, or you can accept for a few moments and then deny and say, "Well, I remember last year, I believe in Jesus Christ, sure. I believe in He's the way to heaven, sure. Now, just don't bother me with all this stuff. I'm busy here." No. You may be busy, but you're never too busy to serve your Lord. If you are, may I suggest you check your salvation. Check it, please. I want to thank you for listening today, and I ask that you'll tune in again next week. And don't forget my website, Battle Site for Christ. I have all hundreds of sermons there and other stuff that will give you a lot of information about the Christian walk. Okay? And I want to thank the Just Jesus Radio Network for allowing me to be a part of their programming. Oh, may God bless them, and may God bless you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.